Father, from the deepest part of our being, from our very soul, we sing these words that are so appropriate. Your greatness will be announced by rocks and stones and trees if our souls don't cry out. And so thank you for this privilege that our worship team has given us to sing this great truth. And Lord, it's in that spirit that we want to come to your word today. Your greatness is meant to be very practical and helpful. And so we pray that as we study your word, that you will inspire us, that our very souls that cry out of your greatness will be informed, instructed, inspired by your Spirit. Lord, we pray for encouragement. We pray that you would strengthen us to deal with the challenges in our life. And Lord, from the strength that you give us, we pray that we would be an encouragement to others in our life who are dealing with big challenges and are feeling the pressures of this life. Thank you, Father, for this very important time, these Sunday mornings with you, together with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we were reminded in our prayer time, the world is a mess. It really is. And the unrest, the injustices and violence, this disrupts the peace and harmony in human relationships. And it's running rampant in the world. The only true hope for peace is found in Christ. We've been studying Paul's letter from prison. He wrote from prison in Rome to the young church in Colossae. His message through chapter 2 has primarily been theological. In chapter 3, as is true in many of his letters, he goes from theological to practical. And that's exactly what we're going to find today. In chapter 3, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at 5 teaching blocks given by the Apostle Paul. This is kind of his so what to his letter. We're going to look at relating to Christ this week. Next week, we're going to look at relating to the church, relating to family, relating to work, and relating to the outsider. That's the outline for the next 5 weeks, and for these chapters, chapter 3 through the first part of chapter 4. Today we're looking at the teaching block that's relating to Christ. And so this is from Colossians 3, verses 1 through 8. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. That's where we'll start. Seek the things above. Really, what we just read, there are 4 imperatives that Paul brings out. An imperative is, this is what you must do. Okay, it's an instruction. Do this. And it's coming from the apostle who was commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. So the authority, there is no greater. So here's imperative number 1, is to seek Christ. To realize that Christians are raised with Christ. He says you are raised with Christ. As Christ raised from the dead, we are alive from the dead. This is very, very important that we understand this about life now. It isn't so much that which is in the future. This eternal life, and it makes sense if you think about eternal not having a beginning or end, this eternal life is ours now. You are raised with Christ. The reality of being dead in our sins is now a new life in Christ. We've been raised with Christ. That's what baptism symbolizes, is you die to your old life and resurrect to new life with Christ. Baptism's important. If you have never been baptized, it's a good idea to be baptized. Baptism itself doesn't save you, but it does indicate that which is pictured as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And again, you are raised with Christ. You did not search for God. Some of you say, but I did. You didn't until you realized that He has been searching for you. And this is another and very, very important truth to recognize, is that God is the one who seeks us out. Okay? We're raised with Christ because He searched for you and you have been found. He searched for me and I have been found. We've gone from death to life. You are raised with Christ. You are at home in Christ. At home in Christ. No longer kept in the darkness of the shadows of religion. Okay? Religion can be very much the shadows and darkness in this world. And it's abused greatly. You are at home in Christ. Paul tells the Christian to set your hearts on the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We are at home in Christ. Okay, that again, when we are instructed to seek the things above, this is part of the truth of what comes from above, is that we are alive in Christ, at home in Christ. And the instruction is to daily seek Him. See, Paul from prison knew the Christians in Colossae were vulnerable to the new teachers and to all the devil's crafty schemes to derail them from the relationship with Christ they have been blessed by God to have. He says, so daily seek Him. Every day in His presence is good. Every day we need to be reminded to look to Him, to look above. That's the terminology. There's no spatial orientation in that. You can look up or look out or look over or look down or wherever, but just look to Christ. That's the important thing, is look to Christ. Daily seek Him. Understand the things above, verses 2 through 4. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Grow in knowledge of Christ. The second imperative is to set your mind on things above, to come to know Him so as to discern His will and purposes for life. We must continually seek to know Him better. Okay? To get a better understanding of who He is. Remember earlier in Colossians, Paul has this super paragraph about the supremacy of Christ. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. That, my friends, is a paragraph worth committing to memory, because that is Christ. Jesus is God. He's the creator. He is in everything. He is before and past everything. Everything is in Him. And so we need Christ. And we need to keep focused on that, to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We need to keep studying. We find Christ in the Scriptures, old and new. The Old Testament says the Messiah is coming. The New Testament tells us this is Him. He came as Jesus from Nazareth. Jesus from Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? I'm Mike from Moreno Valley. Can anything good come from Moreno Valley? Wait a minute. I'm Mike from Lima, Ohio. See? Jesus of Nazareth is God in the flesh. And we need to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Look to Christ, not to self. The threat and the subtle threat of the new teachers and of the devil always is to get us to think that we can know Christ better by looking inside, or by anything but looking up to Him. But that's not the case. When we look inside, what we still find is sin. When you look inside yourself, you're still going to find sin. This is why Paul wanted to make it so clear. If you are going to understand Christ, you need to look to Him. You don't look inside. You don't look to the church. You look to Him. Okay? Christ is not found in us together. I mean, that's not where... You don't bring lost people here to find Christ. Christ is found by looking to Him. Okay, so we help people to find Christ, yes. But it always by pointing to Him. Not by saying, if you do like I do, you'll be good with God. No. You might learn a thing or two about sin. But we need to look to Christ. Look to Christ, not to self. And we must keep looking to Him. And the same with the church. We've got to keep looking to Him together. Christ is seated with God in heaven. Look to Him. So Paul's reminding the church, both then and now, very important. Don't look inside or even this way. Look to Christ. Diligent study is required. Learning from the Scriptures, being diligent to study, will help us to avoid being tossed around by every idea, new and old. Wind of doctrine, as Paul would call it other places. I think James uses the same terminology. To be tossed around like the waves in the ocean. No, that's not... When we look to Christ, when our eyes are fixed on Him, then we will have a better understanding of the things above. Now, you've heard the term, you don't want to be so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. Okay, that what Paul is saying to the church in Colossae is not to ignore the needs of the world, but to recognize that our salvation is in Christ and the hope of this world is found in Christ. And I think that is so very appropriate for the times we live in today. Because just talking in the general public, you're going to find people are discouraged. It's bad. I mean, it's bad with religious violence. It's bad with racism. It's bad with disease. Naima's got relatives, friends in Libya, Liberia, that are in danger of this Ebola breakout. This is bad. These things are for real. And we've got to look to Christ and seek Him for answers and for help. And the only way we're going to be able to look accurately to Christ is by studying the Word of God. Get to know Him better. Mortify the earthly stuff. Verses 5 and 6. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Okay. The third imperative is to put to death what is earthly in you. Christians are to be holy. The link between religion and righteousness doesn't work. It's inadequate. Christians are called to holiness, to a standard that is dependent on Christ. Okay? So our holiness is dependent on Christ and our connection to Christ. Seeking the Lord and mortifying or putting to death what is earthly in us, these things go together. Okay? So that's why we get discouraged when we keep sinning. You know, truth be told, I have no business standing here teaching God's word based on the filthiness of this heart. I cut my finger in the back room making these nice little things to hang and block the sun from shining in your eyes. Cut my finger deep. Russ is the only one that heard what blurted out of my mouth. Listen, we've got to keep working at putting to death the things that are ungodly about us. Keep working at it. You know, golf isn't a bad game to keep working at it. I think golf reveals character. It doesn't build it. But we're still out there giving it a try, aren't we? That's right. Yeah, don't get off on this too much. Let's keep going. Christians are to be holy. Human beings are evil. Whoa. Paul reminds the reader that even seasoned believers still carry the root of sinfulness. And we must constantly be putting to death these sins. We're like pulling weeds all the time in our life. We don't have a big backyard, but we have a backyard full of weeds. And just since I got our sprinklers fixed to where I don't have to do it manually because I forget, now every other day they're getting a little water. And it may be a little bit greener, but I'm telling you, the weeds are really out. So I mowed yesterday morning. And then I went through and I started pulling some weeds. It's a never-ending process. We will not have a weed-pulling party at our house. But I want to suggest that our lives are a lot like my backyard. They need attention. And they need us to be rooting out some of the weeds that continue to grow. And that's all right. We got to stay at it. And then we should encourage each other that, yeah, we need to pull our own weeds out of our life. Put to death what is unholy. This is very practical. It's not ascetic or radical. It's just Paul warns of judgment, that we'll be held accountable for sinful actions. And until Christ returns, we will need to keep putting a stop to our sinful ways. Okay? This is a call to action to do what it takes to stop being sinful, to replace our sinful actions with things that please the Lord. And you know what? We're going to have to start again tomorrow. You might do okay right now, and as the day goes on. But you know what? Tomorrow, you're going to have to start again. That whole one day at a time philosophy is a good philosophy for life. Okay? I think I can manage to, you know, today, stay clean, stay sober, stay pure,
Lord, I'll see you tomorrow morning about strength for that day. It really does make sense. Put to death what is unholy. All right, here's the so what to the so what, or the fourth imperative. The fourth imperative is to put away the life you once lived. The sinfulness that we inherit from our past. It could be racism. It could be sexism. It could be foul language. It could be a lot of things. But Paul challenges the young church in Colossae, and I say he challenges us today. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Challenge your old ways. As you seek Christ and grow in understanding of Him and His ways, challenge what you have grown accustomed to. Challenge that which is you've just accepted as that's who I am. Challenge that. If it's not like Christ, challenge it. Okay? This is, again, Paul writing from prison saying, I'm concerned about you, young church. I'm concerned that you're going to follow a false teaching. I'm concerned that you're going to look within to find Christ there, because He's not there. He is the God of the universe. Look to Him. Challenge your old ways. Many have grown up with a distrust of the church. Challenge that. You know, I'm not saying trust me so much as I'm saying trust the idea of the family of God gathering to worship and celebrate Him. You know, a lot of people today say, I don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. And you're right. You don't. The people who have a relationship to God tend to go to church. And we need to encourage the people in our life by showing them trust in the church. Okay? Let's establish for our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren a trust in the church, a trust in God's ways, a trust in looking to Him for holiness and not depending on our own self-righteousness. Let's set a new example for the generations behind us. Because we don't know when Christ's coming back. But we know that we're called to be faithful to what He's given us. And a lot of times we have to challenge our old ways. Challenge those things we've been brought up with. If they're not in line with the Scriptures, challenge them. Okay? Okay, change your old ways. Paul is especially focused on the sins of speech that make harmonious human relationships impossible. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language. And I would add, thoughtless speech. Okay? That probably fits in there somewhere. But these, you know, he calls out that which disrupts harmonious relationships. There are times when I'll say something from here that I'm loose-lipped about. And if it's taken wrong, I could really hurt somebody. And I've done that. I feel terrible about it. I'm going to try to fix it. But in my cockiness, somebody's not here today. Okay? This is the devil at work through unguarded talk. Change your old ways, especially the way you talk to people. The way you talk about people to others. You know, we're called to encourage, to build one another up. Gossip destroys. It cuts people down. These lips and these tongues that we have can be valuable tools to bringing this world to know Christ. They can also be tools of the devil to create barriers that never really existed. We've got to guard our mouth. And I say that to me first. Yeah, some real weeding needs to take place in this tongue of mine. Submit your ways to Christ. Submit your ways to Christ. Look to Him. Seek Him. Ask Him for help. You and I are God's people. This is the good news. We are His people. By His choice, He has claimed you and me as children of God. There is no better news anywhere that can be proclaimed, is that we are children of God. He's chosen us. That's great. So ask Him for help. We're Christ's ambassadors. He's left us here with the mission of representing Him to this world. Don't be discouraged by the news. I'm convinced that most of the media is run by the devil. I'm convinced. But listen, don't not know what's going on in the world. Listen. But listen with discernment. Listen with this. Okay, Lord. And now with video and the internet and everything, we're seeing horrendous things. You can't argue with what you see, right? But you can still say, Lord, help me be discerning. Lord, help me to know what my part is in overcoming this horrendous evil in the world. Lord, bless those who are assigned to overcome the evil in the world. That's the governments, that's the United Nations, that's the police of the world, that God has assigned them to monitor civility, so that we would live in a civil world. Heaven will be very civil. Christ will be king, and there will be no evil, no harm, no sickness, no outbreaks that kill. That won't exist. Until then, Christians, we are here with a great purpose. Submit your ways to Christ. Allow Him to use you to bring good. You may not be called to go to the foreign country right away. I don't know what God's going to do. He may call you. He may call me, and we'll go if He calls. But I do know this, that every morning, that wherever we put our feet on the ground, that's where we're an ambassador for Christ. And we need to be faithful to that, submitting ourselves to Christ every single day, allowing Him to use us. And the first most important practical instruction that Paul teaches is that we are to relate to Christ in such a way as depending on Him, looking to Him, trusting in Him. We need to be faithful here at home so that if and when God calls us to go somewhere else, we will be faithful and useful people, rightly relating to Christ, and so useful to the purpose and will of God. Lord, we know that we are to be people of peace and justice. We know that Your will is for Jesus to be proclaimed to the prisoners, to the orphans and widows, to the oppressed, that freedom in Christ is to be proclaimed, to be realized person to person, that Your salvation is a gift for all. And Lord, we recognize that You've called us to be ambassadors of this great news. Thank You for Paul's warning, his practical instruction to the young church,
that we are to look to you, that our eyes are to be raised to you and not to be dependent on our own answers. Lord, thank you for allowing us the privilege of encouragement one to another and the privilege of being together as your church. Father, thank you for this body of people. I pray your blessing on each person here. And Lord, through each person here, that you will bless the lives of those who are struggling, who are ill, who are discouraged, who are depressed. Lord, those who are in trouble, those whose patience is wearing thin. Lord, those who are caught up in a life that they cannot seem to get out of, but one that's not holy. God, we pray that you would bless us to bless others. And that the others in our life will have the great treasure of a relationship to you. Teach us, Lord, to nurture this relationship to you. Thank you for your word that helps us to do so. And Lord, as we give our offerings to the church, we pray that you will keep the church on task, that we will be faithful, and that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.